Praise the Lord. Well, we have God's man of power for the hour tonight, Mr. Pedro Samaniego. He's going to come, and I'm sure he's already preached this to the people closest to him, but we get it down. You've been practicing on somebody, haven't you?
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
Funny story. Yeah, because I almost started preaching this at work, actually. I almost started too, but then I had to deal with a kid who was acting up. But it was fun. Last couple times that I've preached up here and something, it's been different than other times I have. I don't know why, but I felt more nervous. Last couple of times, I don't know why. It could be it didn't used to happen as bad as this. I don't know. I don't know if it's what's going on, or maybe I'm just not doing it enough anymore. But we'll see. All right. So what I want to talk about is decisions. Decisions affect everything around us, and everyone around us. And they especially affect our children, especially, and also the ones who aren't born yet. Like, an example is if you're a parent and you're afraid of flying in planes, your child's gonna grow up being afraid of flying in planes. Even though they probably have never flown on a plane before, but they're just gonna grow up with that mindset. Another thing that I see working with special needs students is that a lot of the students who are more difficult, for using a nice term, their parents usually have the mindset that asking for help is a sign of weakness. And transferring that over, the kid ends up saying that, no, I don't want help, because I'm not weak. They reject help because that's the way they were raised. And we could also turn it around. If we come to church on time, our children is gonna get on the mindset that we have to be on church on time. If we sing during worship, our children's gonna have the mindset of singing. If we pray, our children's going to have the mindset of praying. Worship, sing, and pray. Yeah. And like an example is Alisana, my daughter. She used, I don't know if you guys ever seen the picture of her sitting right there, exactly where I stand, with a guitar, singing and playing, even though she doesn't know how to play. She's just singing. And children long to be like their parents, even though they might not say it. They might even say, I hate you, or get out of my life, or whatever, but they still long to be like you. And they're going to be how you are. I want to start in Genesis 25, verses 24. And we'll go to 30. We'll start at 24 and go to 34. This is the story of Jacob. Well, one of the stories is Jacob and Esau. And I'm pretty sure, I think it's a safe bet to say that we've all read the story already, or even heard anything remotely close to it, right? So we're just going to refresh our minds and see if we can look at it any new light. All right, and verse 24 says, when her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out all red, and all his body like a hairy cloak. So they called him Esau. Does that shock anybody? Because it should. Yeah. It should, because what if a little Chewbacca baby came out of you? That's basically what it is. When I say hairy body all red and stuff, it's Chewbacca. It's the big Wookiee from Star Wars. I was going to do the sound, but no, I'm not. I decided not to. So that's, so go back. Oh, no, yeah, 26. Sorry. 26. All right, afterwards, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Next verse. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of the red stew. I am exhausted." Therefore, his name would be called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus, Esau despised his birthright. So we all could agree that that was a dumb deal. Like, you think, who would even do that? You're thinking, how is this story even relevant to me? Because I wouldn't trade that for anything. For especially a birthright. And then you might think, well, I don't even have a birthright. My parents aren't rich. You're probably, maybe some of you are thinking, like, if my parents die, they're going to leave me with bills, not money. So I decided to look up a little bit more into birthright. And I got four descriptions. One is, this word denotes the special privileges and advantage belonging to the firstborn son among the Jews. And then the next one is, the firstborn son also allowed to him the double portion of the paternal's inheritance. And this was the case in Esau's case. His inheritance was double the portions of Isaac. The other one is, a firstborn inherit the judicial authority of his father. Judicial authority, like, it's the, if the king and then the prince becomes a king. The Jews attach sacred importance to the rank of the firstborn and the first begotten as applied to the Messiah. So, does anybody have a pen? All right, who has a nice house? Like, yeah, everybody likes their house, right? Okay, everybody likes the house. So this is what this deal sounds to me. I'll give you this pen if you give me your house.
You're nuts.
You see, you're nuts, right? It's not, you probably, like, I find pens all over the place. I could just take them from the little offering section right there. They're free. Yeah, they're all over the place. You go into a lawyer's office, I'm sure you'll find one in there, a government building, anywhere. You'll find pens everywhere. People walk off with them everywhere. So in verse 27, if we could go ahead and jump there real quick. It says that the... 27? It says that the boys grew up. All right? You would think that in this story that maybe Jacob and Esau were still teenagers, maybe little kids, younger preteens. But some studies actually show that they were around 60 years old. They were around 60 years old when they were around. I don't know. I didn't look into this part, but I saw a lot of people saying that they were around 60 years old. So they grew up, but they didn't mature. And sometimes we grow, but don't mature. It says that Esau became a skillful hunter. So he grew in what he did, but his character inside did not grow. This one's kind of hard because it was like when I wrote it, I was like, Oh. And it says how we could relate to this is that we might get a job, a paycheck, money. But just because we have a paycheck does not mean we know how to manage our money. Just because we're grown up having a paycheck doesn't mean we're grown. And a lot of times we waste our money on dumb things. And so the next part, verses 30, I believe. All right, here is where Esau wants a stew, where he's hungry. He's been out probably hunting. If he's hunting, he probably has some lamb or game or whatever. And so he goes and asks Jacob for some stew. That word wasn't coming out. From some stew. Because he was starving. And Jacob says, give me your birthright, basically. That's what he says. So what I'm thinking is, why didn't Esau say, no, you're stupid, I'm bigger than you, just move out of the way and I'll get the food. It says that Jacob's a mama's boy. It says that he's a little mama's boy. Esau was a big hairy hunter, the Sasquatch. He could have easily taken the soup from Jacob. Just laid him out on the floor and then just gone around and got him. But he was weak. He had been out, he was weak, and he was hungry, and he forgot who he was. He forgot his strength. We hear this every single time, a lot in church, about food. Especially if Nina preaches, she always talks about food. Nutritionist says if you're trying to manage your weight or lose weight and stuff, skipping not eating is really bad for you. It's the worst thing that could happen. It's because you skip breakfast, you skip lunch, and then what happens like in the middle of the night? There's a calling from the fridge, a still small voice saying, eat me from the, it's not the healthy stuff. It's going to be the cake. It's going to be the junk food. The ice cream. That's going to be what's calling you. It's the thing that's going to give you the biggest, the quickest fix. That's what's going to call you. It's best to eat all across the day. That's what I said. So if we put that, it's best to eat across all day. All right. If you couldn't relate that, I'm also relating that to the word, to God, spending time with God. It's the breakfast. It's the food. Breakfast is my favorite time to eat. The pastor from Elevation Worship, Stephen Furtick, said that there is no excuse for going hungry in this time. There's no excuse. Because you have so many sermons available in your pocket. And the same is true here. A lot of us have a device similar to this, or if not, you have an MP3 player, or you have something that you could listen to. This church has almost every single sermon for the last few years online, available online at our website. So you have no excuse for going hungry. You could download that, I was going to say episode, or that sermon, it's an episode. And literally have it in your back pocket. You'll have a snack in your back pocket at all times. You could listen to it in your car while you're cooking, while you're doing whatever. You could listen to any sermon anywhere. And not only is there this church's sermons, there's sermons from all over the world. Pastors are, it's so easy to put stuff on the internet. Pastors are taking advantage of it. We have no excuse to go hungry in this church. But it's all your choice if you want to have that snack in your back pocket. It's your choice. When you go hungry, you start to lose who you are, you start to lose your hope, and you start to lose your faith. Your hope of your dream, the faith of your healing, hope and faith for a husband or a wife, or a son or a child. I don't know if you guys, some of you guys are in that point. And you settle for the bean bowl, the soup, whatever it is. Red stew, some say lentils, some say bean. It's a bowl. We'll just call it a bowl. And so what do dogs eat out of? A bowl. They eat out of a bowl. So you trade. Esau traded his birthright for basically a dog bowl. Dog food. Because first of all, I think stew is horrible. I don't think soup and stews and stuff like that, I don't think they're real food. I don't think it's real food. It has never, ever filled me. It's never satisfied me. And in the scripture, it doesn't even say that he enjoyed it. It just, he ate it, got up, and left. It wasn't even the best stew of his life. It was just, eh. And so we have a birthright. It might not come from your biological parents, but there is one for sure that comes from God. Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. It says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So that we who are the first of hope in Christ might be to the..." let me read that again. "So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praises of his glory. And in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praises of his glory." That's proof right there, straight up. It doesn't get any inheritance. You have an inheritance. You have a birthright. It says it right there, plain and simple. In Titus 3:7, I'll give you more proof. So that we, being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of the eternal life. We are heirs to his inheritance. We do have a birthright. The devil can't take away your birthright. The devil can't take your inheritance. Only three things can happen to your birthright or inheritance. It could be doubled, it could be given away, or transferred. As we saw that Esau gave it away. When we are weak, we forget how strong we are. The enemy, the devil, will show us something that normally we would be whatever about. We wouldn't even give it a second thought. Because I bet if Esau was maybe not as tired, he wouldn't have sold his birthright for a stew. But since he was weak, he was hungry, that stew seemed appealing. But in a regular day, it wouldn't pass. And I could guarantee that every single one of us has done that, has traded our birthright. Well, not necessarily our birthright, but has traded something that God has promised us for something else that the devil's put out there that normally we would be whatever about, but since we were weak, we were maybe not praying enough, maybe not, we've been distant from God. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, but I don't know why I added it, but not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So we inherited peace. Peace is our birthright. He left us peace, and he gave us peace. That's our birthright, and we have it. Devil can't take it away unless you give it to him. But here comes devil with his beans of, his stew of worry, and you start taking from it. So there you go. You already traded something, because nobody wants worry, right? Who wants worry here? Nobody, right? But when you're weak, when you're tired, you might reach for the worry instead of the peace. Romans 14:17. "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but the righteousness of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Joy in the Holy Spirit. Other scripture says joy unspeakable, full of glory in the Holy Spirit. Same thing. The devil can't take away your joy. He can't take away your peace. But then he comes again with grumpiness. And you start eating grumpiness stew. And all of us have ate it. All of us had ate worry. All of us have ate grumpiness because we were tired. We were weak. We weren't thinking, because we let ourselves get hungry. The devil would hit us even with our testimony. Especially in our testimony. If you have an anger problem, and that's had an anger problem or working on an anger problem, guess where he's going to hit you? When you're weak, he's going to hit you at that anger point. If greed, he's going to hit you at the greed point. Pornography, he's going to hit you there. Lust, he's going to hit you there. He will hit you with what you're weakest at when you're with what you're weak for at your weakest point. Because if I ask you right now, I bet you every single one of you, if I would say, "Do you want to look at pornography?" You would say no. Every single one, right? I hope so. I'm sorry if I would hope so. Because right now you're being fed, you're eating. You're eating right now, and so you're satisfied with God right now. But what happens, maybe you've been away from God for maybe a week. You get offered pornography. It might be a different story. You get offered something. You see it. You see something. It's going to change. It's your mindset's going to change. These Wednesday services are weird. They're weird. But I think they're super useful. They're super useful because I think a lot of us wouldn't necessarily eat on Wednesdays if there wasn't services on Wednesdays. So the devil will hit us with our testimony when we're our weakest. There's the bean bowl. He's gonna show it every single time. The stew. He's going to show it every single, it's going to show up every single time you're weak. You just need to walk away from the bean bowl. Just walk away from it. Simple as that. It doesn't taste good anyways, because I saw a picture of lentil stew. It does not look appealing to me. It does not look appealing. That's what I said. It does not look appealing. I looked at it, I was like, I was looking online and I was like, what is lentil soup or whatever? What's the soup they talk about? And I was like, no way. That's like maybe it feels like chicken cordon bleu, I would understand. Esau, like, yeah, that chicken cordon bleu, that's top of the line stuff. But no, right? You walk away from the bean bowl. Hebrews 12, 15 and 17. 15 through 17. See it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. No root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, but it may become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. Hold it right there. Go back. Look what unholy like Esau. Unholy like Esau. Some versions say godless like Esau. Esau had you hear the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, right? It could have been switched. It could have been the God of Esau, but no, because he traded it. He became unholy, or the godless Esau. That's not how I want to be remembered. If we could go ahead and go to the next verse, 17. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. I don't want to be remembered like Esau. I don't want to be at a point where I repent with tears. Well, I'm assuming with tears means that he actually meant it with his heart. It hurt him. And maybe you feel like you've already lost your birthright. Sometimes I have felt like that. But there's good news. Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, I was seeing it weird. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order so that they might be the firstborn among many brothers. So we might be conformed to the image of a firstborn. So you still could have your inheritance, because Jesus died on the cross. He came back alive. He made us firstborns with him. In Luke 15, we'll read this little story, this little parable about the man and the son. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me a share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property in between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. So when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you, heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he rose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassionate and ran and embraced him with a kiss. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost, and he is found.' And they began to celebrate." Because of Jesus, we get to be this second story. We're not like Esau anymore because of Jesus. Jesus transferred his birthright to us. Side note, I love this story because when the son is going back to the father sees him. And the father runs after him. It doesn't say he met him halfway. It doesn't wait until he was like, as soon as he saw him, he took off after him. He says, "Yo, you're coming home. I'm going for you. I don't want you to change your mind. I'm going after you." And that's how God is to us. As soon as we make the step towards him, he's coming towards us. As soon as we have that repentant heart that we're there, he starts coming to us. He starts reaching out for us, like how we're singing. He reaches out. Esau left his home, came back, and gave his birthright away. This son, he left, came back, and gained his birthright back. And there's another son who left his home, and is Jesus. Jesus left his home in heaven, came here, took on everything, and then he gave us his birthright. He transferred his birthright to us. Jesus left his home, got hungry in the wilderness, if you weren't understanding. He got tempted with bread, with authority, and stuff like that. All things that the devil didn't have. The devil was a liar. But he thought, Jesus is weak. He's hungry. Maybe I'll hit him where he's at. But Jesus won and then transferred his birthright to us. So we don't have to settle for worry. We don't have to settle for anger. We don't have to settle for grief. We got joy. We got peace. We got the Holy Spirit. We don't have to settle for any of that junk, that junk food. My notes are not complete. Let's go back to Romans 8:29. I'll focus there a little bit more. "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be firstborn among many brothers." So Jesus transferred his birthright to us, his inheritance. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is proof of that. Decisions that we make, like I said earlier, affect us all. Affect everyone around you. The decision to change his birthright for soup was a dumb deal, and it affected him and not only Esau's children, but it also affected Jacob's children. It sowed a seed of anger because they were fighting for like ever, that those two tribes, those two nations, they became mortal enemies. It's in my iPad. So if you have ever felt like you lost your birthright, I want you to look up and look up to Jesus and be thankful, because you didn't lose your birthright. Jesus is giving it back to you. Jesus gave it back to you. Just come running back to the Father. Amen. Remember that the devil is a liar. He can't take away your joy, your peace. He can't take away anything God has given to you. He can't. But you can give it to him. And you might think right now, like, what the heck, I'm going to give the devil my peace? And you might say right now, no, no way. But we can't let ourselves become hungry. We can't let ourselves start starving for the word of God. We have to be constantly eating, constantly feeding, constantly. The podcasts, I don't know if any of you guys listen to podcasts, but they're basically TV shows, but radio TV shows. They're on the phones. And I really, really like them, because I get them on my phone, download them, I listen to them while I'm in the shower, I listen to them while I'm waking up, getting in the shower, getting ready for work, I listen to them on the way to work. Sometimes when I'm driving, I just plug in my phone and to the stereo, and I'm driving. If it's a long way, I'll listen to maybe one or two. We have no excuse, no reason that we should be hungry. Right. That's what I got.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. There's a continual feast available to us if we'll just eat it. It's in the Word. It's in the messages. It's in prayer. There's just always an abundance. Amen. Hallelujah. And like he said, the devil can't steal it. He can't have it, but we can give it up to him if we allow our minds to drift from God's promises and his word. Amen. That's good. Yeah, we really are. You know, look to our spirits. When you feel weak, look to your spirits. Feed your spirit, man. Build yourself up in your holy faith. That's what the word says. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. praying in the Holy Ghost. That's one good way to just build yourself up. Well, Lord, we just thank you for the word that went into our hearts today. And Lord, we thank you that we will apply it to our lives. And we just thank you for an increased hunger for the word of God, that we just put it before our eyes morning and in the middle of the day and at night, that we keep your word in our heart and before our eyes. And Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that it has in our lives. Lord, we just thank you for this people. Lord, we just thank you for your grace to continually abound in the Spirit, in life, in health, in finances. Lord, we thank you that through you we abound in all good things, and we just bless your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll see everybody back here on